As we've come to the last Sunday of 2019, at the threshold of a new year, I wanted us this morning to perform something of a spiritual health check. You know how it is, perhaps this time of year, many people turn over a new leaf in terms of their physical health and make renewed commitments to exercise and to do with perhaps the things that they feel in the year that's gone. They've let lapse in their health. And why should it not be that in our spiritual lives we pay as much, if not more, heed to our spiritual health and that need for us to pay heed to these things to see that we are progressing? You know, the Christian life is a life of progress. It should be a life of progress in which we grow in this spiritual life that has been given to us. You know, when we come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and we come to trust in Him as our Saviour, that's not the end of the matter. Sometimes people speak of becoming a Christian and that's it, I'm a Christian, and that seems to be the end of the matter, and life just continues as it did. But the Scripture set before us that the Christian life, it begins with the new birth. It's described in those ways. We must be born again. And that imagery, that picture is deliberately chosen because we grow and we progress. And just as we expect to see a baby grow and develop and the children to grow up and mature, and so it is in the Christian life, that when we are born again and we are new creatures, that there is to be a progress and a development and a maturing in spiritual things. Not only is it that we expect to see a growth, but there's a growing appetite as well. You think of how it is with babies. You start off, don't you, with the young babies being fed with milk, and then as they grow older, they move on to the solids and to more substantial food. And it's a similar thing in the Christian life. And Paul himself, he alludes to those things on a number of occasions where he speaks of the milk of the word and of that need for us to develop and to grow and to take the meat of the word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul spoke of that. He spoke there, he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." There's an imagery of babes, but he's bemoaning the fact that he can't progress. He says, "I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." See, there's an expectation of growth, an expectation of a growing appetite. And when we come to faith in Christ, we don't sit back and think, well, that's it, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer. We should desire to progress and to develop and to have those appetites enlarged. The writer to the Hebrews, in chapter 5, bemoans the fact that there's been a regression. It's had to return to the milk of the word. Hebrews 5 and verse 12, it says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers," he says you ought to have progressed and developed and be teachers, "ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." And there he is bemoaning about that here. Well, ones where he'd expected to see a progression, that they ought to be those who now have matured and are able to impart guidance and blessing and teach others. And now he says we need to return to the basics. And how we can see how inappropriate that is. If an adult suddenly started going back to, "Well, I'm just going to drink milk now like a baby," we'd be alarmed. And we wouldn't see a healthy progress in physical things. Well, neither is it in the spiritual things that we expect to see something of a growth. And the verse I want us to dwell upon this morning, our scripture verse, is found in 2 Peter. We read the passage of 1 Peter, but I want in 2 Peter, the last verse of Peter's second epistle, it says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ." 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ." Here is the Apostle Peter speaking of a growth. And here's his word. Here's his injunction to us. He is writing to believers. He says, grow in grace. We understand that we ought to grow. There should be a spiritual health in our lives. Well, he says, grow. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So I want us today to have something of a spiritual health check. It's something we need to do ourselves. And I trust as we dwell upon this subject this morning, we'll go away with a desire to examine ourselves. Look back over this past year. Has there been growth? Where was I this time last year? Spiritually speaking, am I still in the same place? Or have I progressed? Have I developed? Have I grown? Has there been any mark of that maturing in the Christian life? Or am I really pretty much in the same place, spiritually speaking? And those are things for us individually before the Lord to examine ourselves. Well, let's see what the scriptures set before us here then about this expectation of growth that there should be. If we come to faith in Christ and we have laid hold upon, we believe we're born again, then has there been a development? Well then, let's take this injunction here first. The apostle here says, grow in grace. Grow in grace. What does that mean? To grow in grace. Well, there are perhaps two aspects of this word grace used here in this verse. There's the grace, which are those adornments of the Christian life. The marks of grace. The fruits of the Spirit. The exercise of those things that have taken place in the life of a believer. We come to faith in Christ, and the Spirit of God has really done that regeneration work in our hearts, and we know something of the fruits and the gifts of the Spirit in our lives, then have we grown in those things? The exercise of those things. We're all familiar, aren't we, of course, with those fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and we can go through those fruits of the Spirit and meditate upon those things and say, have we grown in the exercise of those things? Where was I this time last year and down through this year? Have there been those occasions which have caused me to develop, to grow in grace? And you see, there's an expectation of fruitfulness. Think of the times when the Lord said it so often in his parables. His desire was to see fruit. There might be different variations of fruit. Think of his parable of the sower. And then there could be 30-fold and 100-fold. But there's to be a fruitfulness. Think of the Lord saying, doesn't he, that every branch that's not in me, he said that doesn't bear fruit, then he cuts it, he breaks it, he takes it away. You see, there's that expectation of fruitfulness. Now, have we grown in grace? Have we grown in the exercise of those things? Think about how elsewhere the apostle says that we're to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. That's the same input again there, same import there. He's saying now, have you grown in grace? He says, prove these things, develop these things. Has there been that exercise of these fruits, those marks of grace in your life? Or have we too easily and too readily succumbed again to that old nature? Sometimes we speak, don't we, about our makeup, our own characters, that we're seemingly born with, and sometimes we describe ourselves in those sort of terms that's simply our genetics, that's our makeup, that's what I am. But if there's to be a new birth as we come to faith in Christ, and there's to be a growth and a development, then there are to be the outshining of these graces, these fruits of the Spirit that put into the shadows that old nature that we used to have. And some people who perhaps naturally are short-tempered, are naturally impatient, naturally have little time for people, and these are things that are to be dealt with. We're to lay aside every weight and every sin and those things that beset us, and we're to grow in grace, to grow in the exercise of these fruits of the Spirit. Do we do those things? Have we been more successful in that than we were this time last year? Have we seen those things in our lives that need to be dealt with? Take to heart those words of the apostle, we're to lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily besets us. And he's speaking there of a common experience. It easily besets us. We find these things so easily coming upon us. But he says, grow in grace. Grow in grace. So there's the first aspect, perhaps, of growing in grace. Those outward graces, that outworking of the work that has taken place inwardly, the Spirit of God that has been there, imparted to us, and there's to be that growth in grace. But there's an inner grace as well here. To grow in grace is to grow in that relationship that we have with the Lord that flows from His work of grace in our hearts. If we've come to know the Lord and to put our faith and trust in Him, we have above all things known the grace of God. We've known His mercy, His forgiveness. We've known how we have been undeserving and He's shed forth His love in our hearts and He's drawn us unto Himself. Now, as a recipient of that grace, how have we responded down through our lives? How have we responded in this past year to the various circumstances and the things that have come upon us? Has there been a growth in grace in our acceptance of the Lord's role in our lives, His lordship, His sovereignty, His providential dealings with us? That in every aspect, if He is one who has taken us and drawn us unto Himself and poured His grace into our hearts, how have we responded to that in our lives? Have we grown in our acceptance of those things? There's a thankfulness that should be in our lives. It's quite striking, isn't it, how the Apostle Paul, on a number of occasions, speaks about how in all things he is thankful. You think about the circumstances that Paul's been through. Think of the great catalogue of trials and troubles he's had, and yet he's able to say that he's thankful in all things. There's one very striking passage where the Apostle Paul speaks of this grace in this sense, in 2 Corinthians and chapter 12. And you remember how the Apostle Paul was speaking about how he had this infirmity, this thorn in the flesh that we're not told what it was. But it says that three times he besought the Lord that it might be taken away. And there it says in verse 8, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." And what's Paul's response to that there? "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." This is a growth in grace, isn't it? Our response to those things that the Lord in His goodness to us, the Lord in His gracious dealings with us, permits us, ordains that we should go through, and there's a willingness to accept these things, a willingness, a thankfulness, an appreciation that here is Christ doing that which is best, doing that which is good, doing that which is for our best. And when we find that it's hard for us to accept these things, that's a lack of us growing in grace. We need to grow in grace in the acceptance of these things, in everything, giving thanks. So there's the first aspect. Have we grown? There's our first mark of growth, our spiritual health check, if you like. Have we in any of these senses grown in grace, grown in that development of those outward gifts and graces? Have we grown in that inner acceptance, that acceptance of God's dealings with us, that He deals with us graciously, and we're to respond in like manner? But then, secondly, he comes on to say in this verse here, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ." So here's the second great thread of our examination of our spiritual lives. Have we grown in our knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ? See, when we come to faith in Christ, if we're true believers, we've come to know Christ. We speak of that, don't we? A Christian, a true Christian, somebody who knows Christ, who's who's come to see their need of a Saviour and has believed that Jesus Christ is their only hope, is the one who came to die for sinners, to stand in our place, to take God's punishment, to wash away our sins. And we come to know that. And that's not a head knowledge. That's a knowledge in our hearts. That's where the Holy Spirit opens our eyes and our understanding, and we realise that this is the Saviour I need, and we embrace Him, and we come to know Him. But it doesn't end there. Our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't finish that recognition of our need of Him and our need of salvation. But there's to be a growth in that as well. And so here's an examination for the believer. Have we grown in our knowledge? The knowledge of, notice it says that, of our Lord and Saviour. We know Him as our Saviour, but have we grown in these things? The growing of our knowledge of our Lord and Saviour. The Lord Jesus, He spoke about how we're to learn of Him. Remember how He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. How do we learn of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, there's an aspect in our submission to Him. How we learn obedience. We learn the commandments of the law that are laid upon us, those things that we should engage in that are pleasing in His sight. We learn what grieves the Holy Spirit. We learn what pleases our Lord. We learn how it is that we're to submit under the mighty hand of God, and how we're to grow to know more of Him. See, these are the things that we should desire, to know something of our Lord in these ways. Do we grow in this knowledge of our Saviour? We find, don't we, as we come week by week to the Scriptures, to the preaching of His Word, that our desire is to hear of Christ, that we might know Him. Now, when you embark on a new relationship with somebody, what is it that above all you want to do? You want to know more about that person. You find somebody that becomes that person that you believe you're to spend the rest of your life with. You want to know that person. There's a communion with that person. There's an exchange, isn't there? There's that fellowship together as you grow in your knowledge of that person. Well, here in the Christian life, the spiritual life that we're to live as we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, then there's that beginning. There's a beginning of a relationship there. There's a beginning of a walk with the Lord. A beginning of us knowing more of Him. So here's a health check, a spiritual health check for us now today. Do I know more of the Lord than I did this time last year? Have I learned anything of the Lord down to this year? I'm not talking about head knowledge and being able to memorize verses and memorize doctrines, but do we know our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, more? Do we know Him more? Can we say, yes, I've walked with Him. I've talked with Him. He's answered my prayers. He's revealed Himself to me in the Scriptures, and I've learned by experience. And He's been the one who has been with me through all the different circumstances down through this year. And yes, I've grown to know Him more. See, there's that mark of that spiritual health, that growth that we're to expect in the life of the believer. Do we know more of our Lord and Saviour? There's another aspect to that growth, and I need to turn to another passage for this, but it's related to that. In Ephesians 4 and verse 15, we find another aspect of our relationship with the Lord that is to grow. Ephesians 4:15. Where the Apostle Paul says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things. This is Paul's prayer, partly through his prayer here for the believers here. His desire here is that we should grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. His imagery in that passage there is of the body, and of Christ as the head of the body. And he speaks there of how we are to be those who grow up into Christ. And here we find, don't we, something more of this growth of our relationship with the Lord, that if we're true believers, then He dwells in us and we dwell in Him, and we're to grow up into Him. there is to be a bond with the Lord that grows. So not just that experience and that knowledge of the Lord and that recognition that we've learnt more of his dealings with us down through this year, but there's been a growing dependence upon him. He goes on to talk in that passage there in Ephesians 4 about how every joint and muscle, it's all compacted together and all part of one body. There's that single body that gains its sustenance. There's the same imagery where the Lord talks about us abiding in him. And we're to be the branches. And he is the one that we're to be bonded to. And so there's a growing up into him. Have we grown in that way in this last year? Our dependence upon him. Our bond with him. Our feeding upon him. Our gaining of our whole of our life's existence is dependent upon the Lord Jesus. Have we grown in those three things? Are we growing up into him so that there is a closer and deeper and a more meaningful relationship with the Lord now than there was this time last year? Or are we still, as it were, detached from him in so many ways, living our lives in our own strength and our own wisdom and seeking for solace and help elsewhere when we should be growing up into him? In all things, that's in everything. Does he rule our lives in that way? Well, it's a growth. There's a development there. There's an appreciation of these things that should grow in our lives. And there's an aspect of that growth that we should see. If we've begun this walk with the Lord, come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then there should be a development here, a growth up into him, a bond with him, a dependence upon him, an abiding in him. Are we bound to the Lord in all things? Do we take everything to the Lord in prayer? Is he our delight? Is he the focus of our heart's affections? Is he that is our aspiring goal at our journey's end? Or do we have other goals and other ambitions that have sidelined the Lord? And over this past year, have those things waned and have they diminished, and have we grown up into Christ, developed in that way? Well, these are the things that are set before us as aspects of that growth in the Christian life, that spiritual health. Now, these are things for us to examine ourselves and to perform that spiritual health check, if you like. But I want us to move on now and to consider, well, how is it then that we can grow in this way? What are the aids to this? We've seen the imagery of the baby growing and it's fed that food and the milk and then it progresses onto the meat. Well, what's set before us here in the scriptures that might aid us in our growth in these things, to grow in grace? It's not simply a matter of our mental effort that we can somehow just grow in these things just by a pure desire to do it. But what are those things that are given to us to aid us? And for that, I want us to turn back to the passage we read earlier in the service. First Epistle of Peter and chapter 2. And where Peter sets in verse 2 this before us. The same imagery again. 1 Peter 2 verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. We've been speaking of that need for us to grow. Well, here is a clear injunction that's set before us here, how it is that we can grow. What do we grow? It says, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. This is what feeds the believer. The milk of the word of God, is that which we are to feed upon. Desire, he says, the sincere milk of the word. We need good food. We don't give to a baby that which is harmful. Give it the best food. You make sure everything is hygienic and it's clean and it's prepared. You don't want anything to taint the food that's given to a baby. And so it is here as believers. We're to desire the sincere milk. That word sincere there, it means untainted, pure. It's that which is the Word of God. It is pure. It is that which we need to feed upon. We need to understand that this Word that we have before us here is the very Word of God. If we want to know more of these things, this is where we find our food. This is what God has provided in His Word. This sincere, pure, unadulterated Word of God is that which will feed that new life, that new creature, the believer who desires to grow in grace, to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, is to feed upon the Word of God. But notice what he says here. He says, desire. That word in the original is stronger than perhaps is set before us by that word desire. It's a strong desire. It's a longing after. We are to long after the sincere milk of the Word. Now there's a challenge for us, isn't it? If we perhaps, as we've conducted, or as we do examine ourselves and conduct that spiritual health check, we feel, I've not grown as I should. Perhaps we even feel we've regressed. And we've gone backwards. My spiritual life isn't as healthy as it should be. Then, have you longed after the Word of God? Have we done that? Have we desired to feed upon the Word of God? We'll find no spiritual food anywhere else. The world has nothing to offer. How can the world supply anything to enable this new creature in Christ to grow in grace and to grow in the knowledge of the Lord? But here in the Word of God, we have that which feeds the hungry soul. And we're to be those who have that desire, that longing after these things. Now, if we have a longing to grow in grace, to grow in our knowledge of the Lord, then it necessarily should drive us to the Word of God, to meditate upon His Word, to study the Word, to find that it's the Scriptures that lead us to Christ. Remember how the Lord Jesus said, He said, search the Scriptures, for they are they which testify of Me. This is the Lord Jesus saying that it's the Scriptures that speak of Christ. If we want to grow in our knowledge of our Saviour, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, then we need to search the Scriptures, to long after the Scriptures. And that's a realisation that here is food that we need. Now, we all of us appreciate, don't we, our food, our physical food. Our children here amongst us, I don't know about some of you, but some of our children, they say, I'm hungry, when's the meal ready? And they're there, they're longing for the next meal, because they feel that need, and we all perhaps feel that at times. Well, here is something. Here's a longing after food. Here's a longing after spiritual food, that which should nourish our souls. Do we feel that when we've neglected it, when we feel that we're hungry, we need something more to feed our souls? Then are we driven to the Word of God? This is what I need. Sometimes we're distracted by things. Sometimes we use other things to distract ourselves when our minds are engaged on things that are troubling us, and we introduce distractions into our lives, don't we? The world's full of distractions, but we should be driven to the Word of God, longing after, desiring this sincere milk of the Word. Can I just say in passing here as well, when he speaks here of the sincere milk of the Word, we're being reminded that God's Word is true and it's holy. It's inerrant. This is the inspired Word of God. Every word here is important to us. Don't mix it with the world's teachings. Always be sure that which we're feeding upon is that pure, unadulterated Word of God. There's so much error out there and falsehood that you introduce that into the Word of God and put it alongside the Word of God, then you've tainted the food and you'll not be nourished and you'll not have that healthy living. Well, here then are these things that we're to take to heart. These things should lead us to Christ. We're to long after these things. We're to be those who seek after that living Word of God. But then there's something else I want us to consider here as well. As we desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby, what do we do with it? Well, there are three things that I might say that again are pictured by that physical health that we sometimes engage in. What do? We exercise ourselves. I'm going to turn to another passage now for this. If we turn to Hebrews and chapter 5 and verse 14. Here again is this imagery that we've seen in other places of the milk and the meat. And it says here in verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We're to be those who exercise our senses. Think of your physical effort and your exercise you might engage in, and it's often set before us. If you want to benefit from physical exercise, you need to do it. You need to exercise your body. You need to gain that strength. Well, here's the writer of the Hebrews saying that now with this word of God is to be that which by reason of use we have our senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We were just remarking, weren't we, and how we're to be those who understand that we need the pure, sincere milk of the word. We're to be those who are fed with the word of God. Now we need to have discernment. Discernment lest what we are taking in is in error, is the world's teaching, is false. And how do we gain that discernment? By exercising ourselves in the word of God. By reason of use. We're to exercise our senses. Now when we read the word of God, is it done in a casual way? Or do we exercise ourselves in take these things in and meditate upon these things? You see, these are the things that are to be there and in our hearts and meditated upon. You see, the apostle here desires that we should be those who progress. Sometimes we remain on the milk. And we saw those verses earlier where he says that if you remain on the milk, then there's something unacceptable about that. You're remaining just as a babe, but we're to develop in our appetite. Just as we remarked earlier, the baby develops in its appetite and wants stronger food and more substance to it. Well, here's the apostle using that imagery again there. He says we need to progress beyond that. Verse 13 there, he says, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. He's a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. Have we exercised ourselves in seeking to get to grips with the word of God? To understand, yes, the doctrines, the teachings. Understand the implications of these things. To work them out in our lives. To apply them in our lives. Apply them to the things that we hear. To the new doctrines that we've not heard of before. To the questions that people throw at us. To the issues of the day. Do we apply the word of God? We're to exercise ourselves in these things. To not only be those who grow in these things and meditate upon the word and feed upon the word, but then apply it. And as he says there, that we might discern good and evil. We need to be discerning. We live in a time when there is much falsehood and error coming in. Are we discerning? Discernment only comes as we know and feed upon the word of God. You think of the Bereans. Remember how the Bereans, when they heard of the ministry of Paul there, it says they searched the scriptures whether these things were true that they were hearing. Is that our response? When we hear something we've not heard before, somebody throws something at us that, well, I've never thought of that before. I don't know the answer. Where do we go? Go to the word of God. Search these things. And we need to exercise ourselves in these things that we might have that discernment there. And of course, as we read the word of God and exercise ourselves in there, there's such an important place for meditation. I may emphasize that for a moment. We need to take time to think upon the word of God. Prayerfully meditate. Not an empty meditation like the Eastern mystical religion speak of. A meditation is a pondering of the word of God. The reason that I wanted to dwell on this subject today was because I've been thinking about those verses back over in the Christmas story that we were reading in Luke's Gospel, where we read about Mary pondering these things. You know the story so well, don't you? But there are two occasions where we find this said of Mary. Luke chapter 2. And remember, it was that the shepherds came and spoke about what their experience had been on the hillside. The angel had come and pronounced this glorious message of the birth of a Saviour. And they go with haste and they find these things are true and they tell Mary and Joseph. And then as they go out, they tell others about these things as well. And it says in verse 18 of Luke 2, all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now, pay attention to this difference here. There are many who heard about the coming of angels and the coming of a shepherd and this message of a Saviour who simply wondered at it. Say, oh, isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? What an amazing story. But it stopped there, because the scripture then says, but, there's a contrast here. They wondered at those things, but Mary kept all those things and pondered them. It's a time for us to keep those things that we've read and we've heard and have been expounded, and to ponder them. Mary is commended for that. There's this character of Mary that's set before us in the scriptures, that she was a thinking person. She was a person who pondered, meditated upon these things. We find it happened again later on in verse 51. Remember how after that account of Jesus, those years later in the temple, surrounded by the teachers and the doctors of the law, and they'd sought him, we wondered where he was, their parents had to go back and search for him. And remember how they questioned him, said, what are you doing? We've been sorrowfully looking for you. And in verse 49 he said, how is it that you sought me? Knew you not that I must be about my Father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. Now notice that. They didn't understand. Mary and Joseph didn't understand what Jesus was saying. And that's true of us very often. We're talking about a progression in the Christian life here. We don't know everything. We don't understand everything. We read the scriptures. We search the scriptures. We feed upon the word of God. And there will be things there we don't understand. That's not to be ashamed of. There's a growth in these things. They didn't understand. But what is it said of Mary again? Verse 51. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. These sayings of the Lord that they didn't understand. So there were sayings of the Lord Jesus there as a child they didn't understand, but Mary kept all these sayings. That word keep there speaks of guarding them. Precious things. Things that are to be pondered. Things that are to be meditated upon. The Word of God is that which we're to feed upon and meditate upon. If you like to take the image a little bit further, you think about how it is as we grow up and we find the strong meat, as Paul refers to it. It takes a bit of chewing at times, isn't it? Strong meat. Well, here's the Word of God. And there are things that are hard to understand. But we need to meditate on these things. Ponder upon these things. Now, as we perform this spiritual health check and we look back over this year, and have we progressed in our Christian life? Has our appetite grown? Our appetite for the Word of God, for the deeper things, that we might know more of the Lord Jesus, that we might understand more of his sayings, and that we might be perhaps like Mary here. There are those occasions where we've not really grasped it, but don't dismiss it, don't put it to one side and forget it. Ponder it, keep it, meditate upon it. Store these things in your life, that you may grow thereby. That we might grow in grace and grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Well, as we've been saying all the way through here, these things begin with a new birth. They begin with that life that comes as we lay hold upon Christ. And today, if you've not come to Christ and call upon him to be your Saviour, if you've not experienced that new birth, then these things are of no avail to you. You can't make progress in your Christian life if you haven't begun at the beginning. There needs to be that new birth. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near, that you might know that new beginning, that new birth. Then you can embark on this life of this great journey, a journey of discovery. A journey of growing in our knowledge of the Lord, a growth of being more like Christ, growing up into him in all things, and then ready to be received into glory at our journey's end. Well, these are the things that as we come to the end of this year and embark on a new year, let us dwell upon these things and meditate upon these things. Have we made progress in this Christian life? And to others, have you even embarked on it yet? Have you even begun? Have you gone to the cross yet? Go to the cross. See Christ as your Saviour. Call upon him. And then, join with us. Let us together, join together, seeking then to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, let's turn to our hymn books again and sing together our closing hymn, 650. Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. 650. Closer walk with God, calm and heavenly frame. Oh, may that indeed be the prayer of each one of us here this day, that desire to walk more closely with our Lord, to know that growing blessedness, a growing assurance and growing peace. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen.